This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome into hour number two of the Outdoor Show. Lots of fishing talk. We got the opening day of the spring squirrel season in Louisiana. Red snapper are now fair game. And we've got a late season frontal system moving through the Gulf Coast. And it's going to be much nicer later today and tomorrow and into next week. Get out and enjoy it. And we're trying to help you do that. All right. We also take text messages during the show live direct into the studio at 504-260-1870. We were asking for favorite red snapper recipes, and the backstrap sacker says, fresh off the boat, straight into the grease, flour, little Tony Sacheries, fry them, and then hit them with some lemon juice right out of the fryer. You know, that's simplicity when it comes to snapper is probably the best way. I'm sure you're filleting them there and then putting a little flour, a little seasoning, and then lemon juice when it comes out of the hot grease. That's a great recipe there. Simple, but very good. All right, the worm's getting back to me. His wife accuses him of having a Don Dubuque problem. He's one of our regular listeners. He says she enjoys the show, but when they're on vacation, he has to wake up at 3 a.m. to listen, and that's when she says, I have a problem. Well, the other solution to the Don Dubuque problem would be to catch the replays. Just go to our website, and you can listen to them after they air. So that might solve your problem of Don Dubuque. All right, we have this one. Let's see. He says, Don, it's worth note that in today's world, with YouTube and every other platform available, anyone who is on a public broadcast that has an audience could easily keep going if they choose. I would think they at least have a shot of keeping their audience. Yeah, that's true of somebody who does a podcast or their own program. But what we're talking about on public broadcast is government funding, the taxpayer money being used to produce television programming, either news or specialty programs. And obviously the time maybe has come for public broadcast. Like you said, it's YouTube. There's so many different channels now. Back when it was formed, they only had three network channels, and it gave you a little bit of an option. And, of course, they were supposed to be politically neutral, which obviously they are not. But if they would have done more of the type of programs that people are interested in looking for, number one, they wouldn't need government funding as much. They could reduce that and get some regular corporate sponsorship. But evidently, it looks like they are their own undoing, and we'll see. We'll track how it goes. All right, got some more text in. We got Chip Clement. He's in cool 64-degree La Ronja. He's headed over to Superior Bait and Tackle in Baton Rouge. Well, say hello to Mark if Mark's there on a Saturday morning, which I doubt. He may be fishing. We have this one. Salt's checking in at the Mandeville Lakefront. He's trying his luck, hopefully, to catch a redfish. His question is, I have a bunch of squirrels in my yard, and they're tearing up my garden. I've had it and planning on doing a little backyard spring squirrel hunting. Are neighborhood squirrels safe to eat? They're mostly gray squirrels. I've always heard about the wolves' disease around this time. Normally, yeah, a neighborhood squirrel and a wild squirrel, not much difference. If they're eating in your garden, they're probably a little bit more well-fed than a wild squirrel. But that wolves problem is caused by the flies that get in, lay eggs in the skin. And when the larva erupt, it leaves a real bad-looking sore. They scratch it. A lot of times the squirrels don't have hair in that spot, and they're pretty unappetizing. But, again, you could do the spring squirrel hunting to do some damage control for your garden. Good luck to you. All right, we come back after this break. We're going to start off our second-hour fishing reports. The guy we call Born on the Bayou, Captain Mike Gallo, will find out what his plan is for a Saturday morning where a late-season front has moved through his area, headed towards Florida, leaving us with a little bit of residual light rain, but some cooler temperatures and much nicer weather tomorrow and in the early part of next week. We're back with Mike right after this pause, where you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And wise anglers like Captain Mike Gallo know that you don't leave the dock without having the peace of mind of a SeaTow membership, because for $249 a year, that will get you free boat towing, bring you fuel, jumpstart you if that's your problem, service on every boat you own, rent, or even borrow. It's 100% coverage on tows from your home dock to a repair facility. It's a great program, and it's easy to do. Just call Captain Chris, 504-301-4545, or go to seatow.com, and it is Robbie Campo endorsed. Let's talk to Captain Mike. Mike, we just had a rock and roll front move through your area, but I think the worst is behind us. You headed out today?
I am not headed out today, Don. My clients and I, after much conversation and looking at the weather yesterday, decided to reschedule and push it into a further date.
I got you. Well, if they can, you know, have the opportunity and the time to do that, sometimes that is best to go for the better conditions. What did you do this week? Did you get out? How many trips did you go on? Where'd you go and what'd you find?
We had a very good week. Limits were fairly common. Didn't seem to matter whether you fished live bait or artificial. I know one day the marina did not have any live shrimp, and we fished all plastics and did just as well catching limits. I call them full limits when I not only catch my limit of fish, but two of them are over 20 for that particular customer. So it's been a very good week. As we get closer to that new moon, that's a little bit expected. The bite always seems to pick up with those bigger fish around the full moon and the new moon, and it's what's going on at the moment. So very promising as we move forward into this spring, into summer. Things are really looking good.
I believe the river gauge in New Orleans was at 16.4. The news earlier this week was that they're probably not going to have to open it, but that's still, you know, a consideration. Are you having any problem in your area with river water that you need to stay away from or fish underneath?
We're definitely fishing on the bottom. And if you remember, a month ago, the Pearl River was at flood stage. So we've already been dealing with an influx of fresh water and a dirty layer on the surface. But it hadn't bothered us one bit. We still look for clean moving water with bait fish, as we always do. We just fish the best we can. Obviously, if you don't catch what you're looking for in a few minutes, then you need to move. I can tell you all of our fish have been caught over shell pads or hard bottom, either the bridges in Lake Pontchartrain, some of the gas wells in Lake Bourne have been productive. I personally have done more fishing at the bridges, because they're just so close to the lodge. It's literally a 15-minute boat ride, and we're fishing.
You know, I've been seeing a lot of reports that people are catching speckled trout in Lake Pontchartrain, but they're not fishing the pads. They're not fishing the bridges. Are they fishing the banks or open water? You have any idea? Because they're not giving away their locations.
Well, what you want to do is find grass beds, and that's where your bait fish are going to try to hide from the predators as shrimp start to migrate into the system. Now, I haven't caught trout in Lake Pontchartrain yet where I found shrimp in their stomachs, but I have caught fish in Lake Bourne that had shrimp in their stomachs. So they're not far away, and maybe I just didn't catch fish that were eating shrimp. But when those shrimp move into the estuary, they're certainly going to hide out in those grass beds to try to protect themselves. The grass conditions the water as it filters, so they work hand in hand with one another.
Mike,
probably where people are fishing, near the grass bed.
Right. Mike, I never hear you talk about fishing with croakers. We were talking with Darryl a little early about fishing with croakers. I know down around Robbie's area in Shell Beach, fishing with croakers is very effective in Hopedale. Is there a reason why you don't use croakers? Is it they're not available, or you don't like to use them, or they're not successful in your area? Because I know, strangely enough, cockahoes just don't catch fish in Lake Pontchartrain.
That's true. Cockahoe minnows do not do very well for trout in Lake Pontchartrain. I don't have an issue at all with using croakers. They're just not readily available in our area. Sometimes during the year, when the pogies get bigger and we can see them in schools, we break the cast net out, and trout love eating those pogies. So we're not opposed to it. It's more or less they're not as readily available. And it's pretty easy for me to work 10 or 12 hours a day. I certainly don't want to throw a cast net for another hour. So I've got to opt for the easy out with the marinas providing bait for us, and we go from there.
Yeah, those croakers can be very effective, particularly catching those trout you were talking about over 20 inches. They love them at certain times of the year. You know, somebody started a rumor years ago that and I hear it every now and then, that the trout and the croakers are mortal enemies because the croakers eat the trout eggs, and it's out of vengeance. I don't think a fish can be vengeful or even think things like that. I think they're much more instinctive, and croakers just taste good, and they look good, and they gobble them up. It's not an animosity type thing.
Right. I had that same exact conversation with Gerald Horse, who was lead biologist with the Wildlife and Fisheries for many years, and he said the same thing. Once a female trout drops those eggs, she's done with them.
Right.
She's done her part, and it doesn't really enter her mind as to what happens to them, whether something's eating them, and she wants to be vengeful. As far as the croaker, it's probably not as fast of a fish as a trout is. They're a little bit easy to catch, and they're generally pretty good size. So it's a good meal for the trout. Eat one, and they're probably done eating for the day.
Yeah, we humans like to eat croakers, so I don't see why the trout wouldn't either. Mike, if you would, give us your contact information. I know you're a busy guy, and if somebody wants to get a trip with you, don't give them my date now with you. We got to keep that date book solid. But for any of the other dates that are open, tell them how to get you.
Very simple. You can find me on DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. My website is AAofLA.com. Social media, Angling Adventures of Louisiana, or the telephone, 985-781-7811.
Every way except smoke signals, huh?
I forgot how to read smoke signals, but I feel that old.
There you go. All right, Captain Mike, have a great weekend. Thanks for the report. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right, Don. We'll talk to you then.
There he goes. We call him the forensic fisherman, Captain Mike Gallo. All right, coming up next, Brendan Bayard. He likes to paddle after his fish, or pedal, so to speak. He's got the recap of last week's Paddle Palooza and more right after this time out on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque. Radio.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Network. Paddle boat, including kayak fishing, is so popular we have a special feature dedicated each week to it, and is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters at 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. They are a fly shop specialist. They've got outdoor gear, including the Layers fishing tackle that works in your area. They've got sharp-looking apparel, paddle sports equipment, including kayaks themselves. You can ask Justin about the fly tying and fly fishing classes when they have them scheduled. They'll be open later today, 10 a.m. That's at No Wake Outfitters, Airline Drive in Metairie. Brendan Bayard joins us now. And, Brendan, from your perspective, let's revisit Paddlepalooza last weekend.
Yes, sir. We had a good time out there. If it wasn't for the river water, it would have been a totally wonderful weekend. It was a little challenging just navigating all that dirty water that blew in from that river that's just pumping out high, dirty water. And I guess that southeast wind eventually just pushed it over to Grand Isle for us. But no worries. Everybody caught fish. And we had Robert Burkhart as our grand champion. He got to take the coveted ride in the kayak, holding his trophy around the weigh-in, which was always fun. That's a tradition we do every time for the winter. And then Steve Lessard finished in second, and Benton Parrott from Alabama finished in third. So lots of success.
Yes, and popular names. That was a little special for you because you had your son fishing with you.
Yeah, me and my son, who's going to Mississippi State in the fall, so I had a little chance to go fishing with him, and we caught a lot of nice flounder, so that was always fun. I enjoy eating flounder as much as catching flounder, but we got into a mess of them, and he ended up with a placing in the flounder division. So happy son, happy dad, if you will.
Well, congratulations to him. Now, when you're targeting flounder, like in these slam tournaments, flounder is usually the hardest one for people to target. Is that primarily where you concentrate, catch a marsh drain?
Yeah, you know, it's certainly easier, I think, to wait until the tide is falling and get some areas where, you know, that all the little critters that are up in the grass start to get pushed out with the tide. And you just kind of find those really shallow ambush spots where the tide is rolling through them. You know, we found areas where, like, the marsh would drain through, you know, maybe like a 3-foot wide drain. And those little creeks, if you will, were, you know, about a foot deep. We were just, you know, blank carpet bomb them with jigs until we found the one spot that the flounder was laying down in that little creek, and just kind of repeated and did that over and over again. And it was pretty great.
You got to think like a flounder, and they are an ambush animal. So you got to figure the places where they would set up to ambush bait moving out. Great job. All right. Now, for the record, did Robert, Steve, and Benton, which one of those had motorized kayaks?
I think Steve and Benton had motorized kayaks. I'm not sure if Robert had them. And I would say that the places that that everybody but Steve fished, and I know that personally just because I know where these guys fished, I don't think it made a difference into where they got to, mm-hmm. except for Steve. He went a little further than most people, but I've been out where Steve fished without a motor, so, you know, that's, you know, not a big deal in my opinion. You know, the one place where motors might shine is if you are going to spot hop a lot and you're going to place, you know, one of your places is maybe like 5 miles or 4 miles out, and then you need to get back and move your car. But, you know, I think I saw a lot of people catch a lot of fish, and a lot of those guys didn't have motors. So I don't think it's as big of a deal as it is. You know, the guys that won, Robert's been, you know, doing really well for the last 2 years, getting better. You know, he's won the big trout, I don't know how many times lately. He's really coming on strong. And then Steve and Benton, of course, have been champions and angler of the years, you know, forever. So I don't think the motors matter for those guys.
You're right about that. All right, coming up in 3 weeks, Dawn Till Dusk, which is the third and the fourth of the championship series for BCKFC. Tell us about that one.
That's going to be a full day, get lots of coffee and energy drinks day. It's a 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. anywhere in the state fishing tournament, CPR. it's kind of, you know, basically go out and find your best two reds and five trout and see what kind of stringer you can make. That one's always fun. It's going to be on Memorial Day weekend. So, you know, most people should have that off. So looking forward to that. It's usually some pretty good trout. And I think, you know, the trout are just ready to explode along the shore right now. You know, if it wasn't for that dirty water, we would have had a wonderful time on the beach this last weekend. But the fish are still over there. They're, you know, all up behind Elmer's Island and behind Grand Isle. So as soon as that water clears out, it's going to be on.
Should be a good time. BCKFC, you can get signed up there. Brendan, thanks so much for the report, and congratulations to your son on the flounder.
All right. Thank you, Don. Take care.
Yes, sir. There he goes, Brendan Bayard. All right, we come back after this. Oh, yeah, bad boy time. We got a guy got himself in a mess of trouble. We'll tell you his story right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, taking a look at our text message board. We said, Don, great show. What lure do you throw when the shad spawn bass bite has slowed? Tight lines, thanks. That's from the big man Bassin in Covington. I tell you what, when patterns change like that, my go-to bait is a plastic worm. Texas-style rigged. I mean, that has proven to catch maybe more bass than any other bait, and although it's much more popular in the late spring and summer than other times, it works all the time. Always keep one of those with you. Here's another. Hi, Don. Do you ever have Moon Griffon on your show to talk about fishing? He loves to fish, talks about it on his talk show during the week. I listen from North Carolina. For those of you not familiar with Moon Griffon, Moon has been a longtime radio talk show host. He's got a small network like I do. His flagship station, those of you listening to us on 96.5 FM KPEL in Lafayette, well know Moon. That's his flagship station. And I listen to Moon Griffon. I like the guy. I've never met him in person. And I got to tell you, he is probably the most knowledgeable person there is in the state concerning Louisiana politics, and that's what his main discussion is on his show. That's a good idea. I'm going to contact Moon and see if we can get him on for a short little report and talk about fishing and maybe talk about his show. I really enjoy it. I think he listens to my show. At least I hope he does. All right, we also got this one. Good morning. The Tickfaw 200 is this weekend. Lakes Maurepas and Pontchartrain will be crazy with speedboats. That's from the River Rat. All right, everybody out there, be on guard for fast-moving big boats and make sure you take all the necessary boating safety precautions, including wearing that kill switch, which a bad boy failed to do. We'll tell you the rest of his crime right after we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Back on Wednesday, April the 16th, Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery Agent Sergeant Scott Dupree, Agent Savannah Laverne, were patrolling East Grande Lake in St. Martin Parish when they observed Dwayne Abair operating a hand-tiller-steered outboard boat. During a boating safety inspection, they found that Abair did not possess any personal flotation devices and failed to wear his cutoff lanyard. Now, for those of you non-boaters, a cutoff lanyard is also known as a kill switch. It clips onto your shirt or your belt and attaches to the key in your ignition. And what happens is if you fall away from the area where you're stealing or get ejected out of the boat, the kill switch kills the engine and not you, and he failed to have that on. He also possessed a .38 caliber pistol, which in his case was really a bad, bad move since he is also a convicted felon. During the inspection, the agents also determined that Abair was impaired and cited him for DWI, illegal possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, failing to possess the required amount of personal flotation devices, and failing to wear a cut-off lanyard. And if convicted of all these alleged charges, facing loss of his driver's license and boating privileges, $6,100 in maximum criminal fines and up to 20 years in jail is 47-year-old Dwayne Abair of Pierrepart, Louisiana, our bad boy of the outdoors. Think they'll ever collect that $6,100? I doubt it. Good luck to Dwayne Hebert, our bad boy. Yeah, those kill switches, man, that's a vital piece of equipment that you got to have. All right, Bad Boys of the Outdoors. This feature is a presentation of our Louisiana Wildlife Agents Associations, who also help us make the stories. It's a nonprofit group, and if you check out their website, LWAA, it's actually support, LWAA.org. Got lots of great little items, T-shirts and hats and all the gear that they wear for the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries logo. So check them out, LWAA, or support LWAA.org. All right, when we come back, it's time to talk to our plastic man. That would be Captain Ryan Lambert, who owns and operates Cajun Fishing Adventures down near the tip of Louisiana's Boot in Burris, Louisiana. You'll hear from him next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And the plastic man is armed with plastic of all types, headed out there for the fish, and he's got about 30, 35 years of experience behind his belt, too. So the fish are in trouble this morning. Ryan, where are you headed today?
I'm sitting at Port Eads right now.
Port Eads? Oh, man, you're down the river. You're way down the river.
I'm down. I'm. If I slip up, I'm going to have to speak Spanish.
What are you going fishing for down there?
I'm going to start with speckled trout, then go to snappers, then go to mangroves and triple tails.
Whoa, man, that's quite a menu there.
Yep, I'm on a mission.
What's their snapper report? Darrell over in Grand Isle said, man, it was easy limits, close in, and some pretty big fish up to 20, 25 pounds opening day.
Yeah, I've seen people catching three at a time. I mean, it's good. I don't want to catch my whole limit at one time.
You know, so, big difference between fishing those red snapper and those mangroves, you know? They're both in the same family,
yeah.
But what a difference, huh?
They're such a smarter fish, you know. Mangroves, you know, they can get persnickety on you. You know, you got to go down on your line size and tiny hooks and drifting baits with no weights. You know, there's a lot of techniques to it, but, you know, some people can catch them at ease, but not me. I got to work for them.
Yeah, and, you know, pound for pound, man, they are a fighter. They'll get you into that rig quick. You got to get them out of there or you're gone. He'll break you off in a heartbeat.
And they're so good eating. They're really good table fare.
They are. They are.
So we're going to start with the trout early, and the trout been biting really, really good. So we're going there. The boys been doing really, really good with the reds every single day by the lodge. I mean, they just hammering the reds, catching so many rat reds and you know, during the day. I mean, they must be catching 50 little ones a boat, you know, and plus the big ones, plus bulls. So everybody's having a good time.
Man, that's great. Good news, man.
Especially the river's at flood stage, and it's just still rocking right along.
The latest I'm hearing from the Corps is they don't think they're going to have to open it, but they got their eye on it. They're monitoring it. So hopefully it won't
happen.
I mean, it's already got a few pins. They're letting some water through because I saw some coming in the Lake Pontchartrain when I was crossing the back end of the spillway, but it's not a whole lot, and they don't think they're going to have to keep it open for any length of time, even if they do open it.
Yeah, they had those pins when they were practicing. They pulled a couple of pins, but it always leaks through anyhow when it gets this high. And it's crested already, so it's not going to start falling, but it's going to stay in the 16s most of the month, you know, and then drop out. And by the end of May, I think it's going to be 7-something. So, yeah, the crisis part is over, so I don't think they're not going to open a spillway unless we get a major flood coming from somewhere else. But, you know, it's good. But it's the river's at 16.8, and I've been in it every day. You just got to watch. There's trees. I mean, monstrous trees everywhere.
Yeah.
So you really don't want to run before daylight right now because, I mean, not logs, trees floating in the river. So you really want to be careful. That river is no place to play anyhow. I mean, you got to really have your eyes on a swivel when you're going down the river when it's this high.
Yeah, there's a lot of junk and all kind of debris in there, and it's can be a dangerous situation. Good thing there's no fog, because you get fog combined with a high river. That's a real recipe for disaster.
That's stay home and cut grass day there. Not only that, but the current. You know, if you get sideways in the current or your engine dies or something and you get, you know, turned around, it's, you know, you're talking about 1.2 million gallons a second. That's 77 million basketballs a minute going by. That's huge.
Yes, it is.
You really got to respect it. But, you know, everything else is pretty good. You, the neotropical birds are around, and that's pretty to watch. So everything, it's just that time of year, buddy.
You know, speaking of birds, I just came back from Tennessee this week, and I was turkey hunting up there, but I was chatting with a friend of mine who is a real avid duck hunter, and he was telling me about how the Tennessee Department of Natural Resources manages waterfowl and waterfowl hunting, and, man, they make these blinds available by lottery, by drawing for them. And they're right adjacent to flooded cornfields, which is the department does that, and they have been slamming the ducks in those areas. He said you still got to have some cold weather, but, man, he says the hunting up there was fantastic for ducks this year. A lot of mallards. They still have plenty of mallards up there.
I was talking to Josh Goins this week, and he said that Missouri is unbelievable how their tax dollars are going to do the flooded corn and that kind of stuff. And it's all detrimental to us at the end of the day, but you know, I like my ducks. You know that.
Yeah. Well, the problem is we're down at the end here. We could, you know, grow corn and flood it. But if the ducks going to come here to find it, you know, what good has it done? And I got to call Josh. He's been trying to get in touch with me, and I've been busy, and I'm missing him, and I need to talk with him.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, if you put up 10 gallons of corn out there, you get arrested. So it doesn't make any sense for one guy to be able to shoot on corn and one guy can't put a cup out there. So. And then, like I said, you know, how many ducks are down here these days to come eat it? Not near as what it used to be. But we just lost too much habitat to keep them down here. You know, it takes so many food hours to keep those ducks. I mean, we're talking about millions of ducks eating every day. So we just don't have the aquatic vegetation. But maybe this year the river's real high and a lot of grass is growing. By June, we'll have to be covered with grass. So if we don't get a storm, maybe we could save some of it this year.
Yeah, we need some hard, cold weather, too, to drive them down. That's always a help. Well, look, I'm glad you all set up. Yeah, I'm glad you all set up and got your stuff rocking and rolling down there. Get those specs, get those snapper. And what was triple tail. You going to scout around for some
triple tail? I want a triple tail day.
Yeah. Well, the customers at the Cajun Fishing Adventures Lodge are going to be eating well after today, I got a feeling.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, give that telephone number. People want to give you a call and chat and talk about duck hunting and fishing and all the kind of stuff you do.
504-559-5111, and we're going to be on the phone a long time if we talk about all the stuff I do.
I know. Have a good week, and we'll talk to you next time.
Fine, we'll see you.
All righty, there he goes, Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. All right, we got one last break to take, and it's time to wrap up. And before I go, I do want to remind you about the benefit for Captain Mike Helmer. The drawings for those fishing trips, and there's eight of them, is going to be on May 6th. That's coming up next week. I think that's Tuesday. So if you haven't got your ticket, I'll tell you how to do it right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, thank you for your text, old dog. I'm going to send you some contact information for someone who will put that old fishing gear to good use. They clean it up, make it workable if it's in bad shape, and they donate it to children who are less fortunate and don't have an opportunity to purchase it, and they still get to fish. So I'll send you that contact info before too long. All right, did want to go over the benefit for Captain Mike Helmer. Been talking about this for a while. Those of you who don't know Captain Mike, he was the owner and captain of the Phil Robichaux Fishing Charters out of Lafitte. He suffered a massive heart attack and has had a couple of strokes, but he's surviving and he's making a comeback. And with the help of his family and friends, hopefully he can get there. He's got some incredible medical expenses to cover, but you can be part of helping by, and also help yourself by purchasing a $25 ticket, or you can get five for $100. And they do have a Venmo method of payment. You can send checks. I'll give you the contact information in a minute if you want to jot it down. But here's what's being raffled off. There's a four-person fishing charter for two nights, and you stay in Lafitte with Captain Phil Robichaux. There's a two-person fishing charter with Big Dog Charters out of Lafitte. Another two-person fishing trip with Captain Bo Weber of Delacroix. A two-person trip with Captain Lane Zimmer, also fishing out of Delacroix. Sean Thornton out of Delacroix has a two-person fishing trip. Also one with Captain Bart Simo, another Delacroix captain. And out of Dead Reds Unlimited in Venice, you got a two-person fishing trip there. And maybe one of the most sought after will be the MILF Pro Jimmy Washam. He fishes off Pickwick Lake in Tennessee. He donated a two-night stay and a two-person charter to fish with him. The drawing is going to be held on May the 6th, which is Tuesday. So you got between now and then, if you've been putting it off, don't do it any longer. You can go to Hooked on Healing on Facebook and find out all the information, and you can make the purchase by Venmo. That's Hooked on Healing Facebook, or call Angela Caruso, and you can reach Angela at 504-458-7844. That's 504-458-7844. And if you want to go online, there's another way to do it. It's cars99@cox.net. That's cars99@cox.net. And maybe you earn yourself a great fishing trip and help Captain Mike and his family out. All right, let's see. What else we got? Well, let's kind of recap what we talked about. If you're getting up a little bit late, Robbie Campo, he started off his reports, long rocks, east shore on Lake Bourne, a lot of slot reds showing up, plenty of sheephead, using the sliding cork. There's a lot of fish of different species. It's been good down there in Shell Beach. Also, we talked to Darrell Carpenter, and fishing there has been a little bit tough because they got some river water coming around, but the red snapper fishermen going out of Grand Isle have been doing outstanding with some unusually large fish and getting quick limits in about 45 minutes. Mike Gallo, been fishing shell pads and the bridges and the gas wells, catching a lot of speckled trout over in his area over there. Also, hopefully he can get to the brackish marshes over there in the Biloxi Marsh and get us a report on that. Again, river water problematic over there in the Grand Isle area for those fishing in Paddlepalooza. Although, you know, when fishermen go out and the caliber of fishermen that fish those tournaments with Bayou Coast Club do very well, and they had some pretty good stringers brought in despite the conditions. Ryan Lambert's reporting catches of all different species. He's gone after speckled trout, red snapper, mangrove snapper, and also triple tail. That's the thing about fishing in some of the areas in Louisiana, like where Ryan fishes. You know, there's so many different species, particularly in that Venice area. I think we caught, it was 7 or 8 species without moving the boat one time, because you got the mix of both the freshwater species from the river and then the saltwater species, and it's a close run to get to the offshore water. So you can not only catch freshwater fish, inshore saltwater, but also the offshore saltwater fish all in one place. And I got to tell you, there's not many places, not just in the country, but in the world, that you can catch the variety of fish that you can fishing in the lower Louisiana coast. And, of course, we've got some hunting going on, too, if you're interested in getting into squirrel hunting. Got a special spring season. It's a 3-squirrel limit. Opens up this morning, and there's lots of public areas. Very simple, but very enjoyable activity for the squirrel hunting. Turkey hunting, well, you just got today and tomorrow left in Louisiana. A little bit of time left in Alabama, and that's all going to be wrapped up. Speaking of turkey hunting, I will be broadcasting next week from Palco, Kansas, and a lot of you's favorite co-host, my daughter number one, Cherie, will be co-hosting the show there. We're going to be doing some Rio Grande turkey hunting in Kansas and updating you on that situation there. I enjoy hunting in Kansas. I've hunted there for years, and those Rios kind of restore the faith in your calling and hunting abilities compared to the eastern wild turkey. Can't complain, though. Did bag one bird this season. Had a lot of close encounters with some good birds. And maybe when I get some time, I'll tell you the story of Tennessee. I just heard from my buddy Tennessee Steve. He's out in the blind that I was hunting in Tennessee this morning. So thank you for tuning in. Hope you join us again next week. Thanks to Cullen Steele pushing all the right buttons at all the right time. We'll be back again next week, 5 to 7 a.m. We do this every Saturday morning. We talk like it's at a camp with the friends. It's called The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.